Life is nothing but a series of cats and women, or dogs, depending on, you know. Like, anything you imagine just happens on the screen, because you're just not aware of your hands, and you're just so in that present moment. Old Asian lady like tried to tase me or mace me for some reason, and like I've just been seeing a lot of characters today.
Hey, how's it going, my friends? This is Interverse Podcast, and I'm Chance. I'm going to be introducing you to a really interesting character today. As you could tell by the snippets I fed you there at the beginning, I'm talking to Brian Pollitt, who goes by the internet avatar of Pixel Pusha. He's basically got a third degree black belt in Pixel Jiu-Jitsu, and on top of that, a lot of good perspectives about consciousness, about the reality. Cool guy to talk to. I was really, really, really grateful that he decided to do the show, because we only got to talk for a few minutes whenever we met each other in California when I was at the UNTS, or the UNTS, whatever you want to say, UNTS festival that I went to catch Soul Cymatic, which, by the way, that was a blast. And I would really love it if we had some UNTS fam checking this podcast out right now. I did kind of half-assedly try to spread awareness of the fact that I have this show when I was out there. Mainly, though, I was just having a really good time. The vibe was incredible. I definitely recommend looking into it for next year if you weren't there this year. If you're into transformational festivals and you like electronic music, but you hate how electronic music festivals are usually just like a field to do drugs in, I mean, because that's usually what it is, you would really like the UNTS then, because super conscious vibe the whole way through and through. And dank electronic music. So check that out. Speaking of dank electronic shit, please check out Brian's artwork on the episode page, on his website, on his Instagram. You know how to use the internet. Just look up Pixel Pusha and you'll be like, damn. Anyway, on to the episode. Feel free to help me out by sharing this, liking this. Again, you know how to use the internet. Please spread the word that this podcast is a thing, because that helps everybody, somehow. I promise. All right, I love you. Now let's talk to Brian. Welcome everybody listening. This is Brian Pollitt, also known as Pixel Pusha.
How's it going? Awesome.
So, I met this fine man over at the UNTS Festival in California, and yeah, that's where the podcast has been for the last couple of weeks. I actually haven't put out a new episode for a little while. I've been traveling, but met a lot of cool people that you'll probably hear on the show coming up, and Brian will be the first. And how did you like the UNTS, man?
The UNTS was, firstly, I had a wonderful time at the UNTS. It was very relaxed compared to other festivals that I've helped out with. It was like the most delightful shit show ever, and I think that's kind of how everyone felt. Like, it was hot, which we couldn't help. Anyone who had a MacBook Pro, like, their laptop overheated, and it sounded like there was a bit cruncher effect and a static pop on all their tracks, and it was sponsored by a Newport cigarette. It was just funny. Everyone had a lot of good, like, there's like festivals that like people have these huge expectations for, and like all their first world problems don't work out. Like, this bamboo isn't organic. The world is ending. Like, anything that just went like not according to plan at the UNTS, everyone just kind of shrugged and like was like, yeah, whatever, this is cool. Yeah, I'd definitely go again.
That's exactly how I felt about it, too. Like, all the problems that they had were not game-breaking, like, deal-breaker problems. Everybody was very much in the same vibe of like good intentions, trying to make the best of whatever was going on. You know, I only felt bad for the people who were trying to like sell art, because there was a lot more people advertised to probably show up than actually did.
Yeah. It was also like glamping for the artists. Like I bought all this stuff from Grocery Outlet. I took all this camping material, and we get there and it's like a fairground, and they fed us every day, and they didn't just feed us like rabbit food or matter on a plate. They fed us like bacon in the morning. They fed us like shrimp for lunch, and like it just these really nice dishes every day, three times a day. And then they always had coffee and coconut water available for all the artists, and air conditioning. That was pretty cool.
And showers that were free.
So I didn't actually have to. And showers. That's right.
Yeah.
I kept forgetting about the showers.
I came up with friends that had a set. They were Soul Cymatic, and so I didn't get wristband like to be in the crew or anything. So I had to just keep asking them to go in and steal me coconut waters and shit. But yeah, there was an abundance of appreciation for the artists. I felt like they gave them hour and a half long sets. Everybody, that was really cool.
And it was interesting to see. I get a lot of house techno events, and it's just laptops live, essentially. Put it at 120 BPM, and that's the end of the story. And at this event, even like the house DJs, they were like, "Well, my MacBook is overheating. Hold on, everybody. I have a guitar. I got this." And it was just cool to see like a live instrument again after so many years of just Ableton Live.
Yeah, it seems like a lot more bands are starting to blend the analog into the digital, which I appreciate too. Mm-hmm. My buddies that I came up with, that's what they've got going on. A standing drummer and then a guitarist.
Yeah, that was really inspiring. It made me want to start a band, but I don't think... I'm sure there's drummers out there that could keep up with a drum and bass style.
Oh, is that your kind of preference electronically?
Right now, yeah. I mean, I love electronic music. Right now, though, I'm a baby junglist. I've fallen in love with drum and bass. It's kind of hard mode.
Have you heard of Reed Speed?
No.
Okay, I should link that to you later. She puts out really good jungle mixtapes, and like she has a podcast where it's just, I don't know how she puts it out, like twice a month, but really good drum and bass. I'm also a drum and bass fan. I don't know
how old I'm at.
How old am I?
Yeah.
27.
Oh, snap, 27, represent.
All right.
Yeah, this is the year like all these stars kill themselves, so I think we're doing pretty good, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on an upswing. I don't expect to die.
A sign.
What was that?
Oh, but no. Hold on, let me stop my... No, never mind, it's fine.
Oh, cool.
We're good.
Yeah, I can edit out any weird little glitches that we might encounter.
Oh, glitches can be really fun and awkward sometimes. Yeah,
that's true.
Fine. My cat is just really noisy, and at first I was like, maybe I should shut her up, but, you know, it's kind of cool. It might be funny if there's a cat noise in the background of my studio, because that's pretty much what happens all the time.
That happens here on my end anyway. I have a new kitten on top of already having a cat, and I'm just hoping the kitten keeps sleeping through this entire thing and doesn't start trying to, like, dig through the door, because you'll hear just dun 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 dun.
Well, that's when you get the cat, and then you're trying to make an online, you know, presence. So you just get the kitten and you put it in front of yourself.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, maybe record it purring and people will go insane. Like,
well, yeah, my cats are both like internet model quality cats for sure.
Yeah. See, cats can be commodified for sure. That people will play, you know, if you want to quantify it by likes, you can, like, my art will never be as popular as a picture of a cat, ever.
That's rough to think about.
Oh, it's pretty awesome, you know? It's quite a... They've evolved in such a way to not only survive and become apex predators, but completely...
They've mastered the evolutionary trait of cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a trip in itself. It's like why don't we want to eat them? They're everywhere.
They have a parasite in their feces, I believe.
Toxoplasmosis?
Yeah, yeah, that makes you like the cat.
I've got to have that.
I got to have that, too.
I think I've had it since I was a kid.
Maybe not so bad, but yeah, I definitely have that. That's insane.
I blame all my impulsivity on that. It's really not my fault.
I'm glad how you knew that. Every time I tell people their cats have a parasite in their feces, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
I've actually been thinking about doing like a parasite cleanse on myself. They have kits that you can get online just to see what comes out.
What, really?
Yeah. I did a colon cleanse a few weeks back with a kit type of thing, and like the weird plaques that came out of my intestines, I could not believe it.
Oh, you did anything show up?
Yeah, yeah. It involved like a 5-day fast, so like liquid only diet. So I know the stuff that was coming out was not stuff that I was putting in, and it was gross. I did a couple of episodes of this podcast about it actually with a friend that I did it with. It made me have a lot more energy. Kind of opened up my third eye a little bit in a way too, like my ability to close my eyes and see stuff.
Parasites are not fun. I think I've ever had a parasite. Definitely had parasitic people in my life, but like a biological organism. That's really interesting. I'm really skinny and I get tired very easily, so I'm wondering, like, maybe I've had a little friend with me this whole time that's like, you know, maybe that could be the next binge series is Pixel Pusha 2017 binge tapeworm.
See some digital representations of that.
Yeah, of little worms. Worms are pretty fascinating. When you look at worms under a microscope, because they have, people like patterns, at least I like patterns, and something so small and ravenous have the most beautiful iridescent patterns. I won't talk about worms anymore if you don't want me to.
No, I
don't
like to talk about worms. I mean, you can cut it in half and then you have two worms. That's
weird. Not all of them.
No, not
there's
all
a,
of them.
There's a fucking, what's it called? Botworm, I think it's called. And because my friend, who used to live in LA, he used to breed coral. Excuse me for just a moment.
The more meows, the more likes.
She's a very demanding cat. But yeah, botworms. A friend in LA used to breed coral. So he had tons and tons of these giant fish tanks with all sorts of exotic fish and coral, and they all were UV reactive, so you know, you take acid and turn on the UV thing and watch all these cool little starfish with their fucked up little tentacles, and they're all UV reactive. It was cool. It was like psytrance in the tank. But there's these worms that they lay their eggs in coral. They're called botworms. And so you don't know when, like, you have them. You can have them in your tank for like years and never know. You just see your fish disappear. And they live underneath the sand, and they can get, I think, 10 feet long.
Whoa.
But they're as about as like wide as, I guess, a smoking pipe, I guess. They're not really that round. But they're incredibly beautiful and terrifying all at the same time, and I really want one because they're nothing but a nightmare inside of a fish tank. But just to think that you can just have that and it's just in your super expensive fish tank for years and you don't know about it. It's really funny.
Basically an alien monster invading your...
Yeah, dude, look up botworm when you get the chance.
For sure.
I want one, and I want it to fight a mantis shrimp.
Have you seen the... Is that the cuttlefish? Is that a mantis shrimp?
No, mantis shrimp is... they have the hardest punch, I guess, in the world, in the wild. they punch things, and they're really psychedelic rainbow, and like their arms, they punch so quickly that it creates a vacuum, and it creates a spark under the water, and they're just assholes, and they just go around punching the shit out of everything they find. And
don't they have like a wider color spectrum that they can perceive too?
Yeah, they have. Don't quote me on it, but right. I think they could see like 17 different colors that we could never possibly comprehend. Like completely different.
I quote people from podcasts all the time. Don't worry, it's fine.
Like, man, shrimp got fucking 17 colors you can see. Pixel push-up.
Yeah, people will like edit that out and put that on your Wikipedia. Also, a expert on underwater sea creatures.
Yeah, I by no means quotable in that sense. I was trying to quote William Burroughs earlier about cats, but then I forgot how the quote went. But it's cats offer no services; they only offer themselves. And some don't even do that, or something like that. That's very right. They don't do shit.
No, it kind of makes you think that the cute thing and the parasite thing might be really tied together.
You know, I think you're onto something there. And I can talk about a few ex-girlfriends that would share those similar traits, but...
Oh, there you go.
I won't get into that.
Oh, wow. That's a trip. I've actually... Okay, one time I was on mushrooms by myself, just with my cat, and I totally had a strong feeling that he didn't give a shit about me and was just using me, and maybe even controlling me. And it kind of made me sad. So I had to ask him about it. I was like, are you my friend, or are you just some like rude, hostile invader that's just siphoning off my energy? And we hashed it out, and I don't feel that way anymore. But it could still be
the case. Yeah, you gotta drop the hammer and draw the line sometimes.
Yeah. I've definitely had cats where I actually was really glad when the person I was with who owned the cat left. Anyway, enough about cats. Maybe we'll talk about you a little, since you're the...
Yeah, sorry. I'm such a shit show right now. I unplugged my headphones on accident. And so I just heard the last part of your sentence about how I'm glad I'm not with the person.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just rambling about past cats in my life that came and went with women tied together.
Oh, yeah. Life is nothing but a series of cats and women, or dogs, depending on,
depending on your preference, whether, or dudes or women, cats or dogs.
Yeah.
It's all binary. All ones and zeros.
A chapter of very influential people. That's kind of grim.
I don't know. It is what you make it, right? That's what the art is about.
Nothing lasts, but nothing's lost.
Nothing is true, but everything is allowed.
I don't know about that one.
Really? It's like truth is so relative, and we have such wide degrees of freedom in life that, I mean, you're allowed to do anything. The consequences of it might make you wish you hadn't, but you can pretty much do anything.
I mean, there's relative truth and there's absolute truth, but... I wouldn't get in. I'm not going to get into specifics if you don't want me to.
No, what's an absolute truth in your opinion?
So, relative truth, just to clarify for anyone who heard these terms, relative truth is an elephant isn't big to an elephant. An elephant is normal size. We are small, but to us, we're at average. That's relative truth. Absolute truth is if a tree falls in the forest... It makes a noise. Regardless if you can hear it or not, it still makes a noise. There are people that exist outside of yourself that exist in the world, regardless if you acknowledge them or not. One day your atoms will break down and be rearranged, aka death. That's absolute truth. That's going to happen to all biological organisms. These are things that we cannot go outside of because they make... possible.
They create the framework for our ability to have a shared experience.
There's a lot of people who really invest a lot of emotion into the power of attraction, and think they can go outside of absolute truth, or they get that relative truth and absolute truth really mixed up, and then they get God complexes, and it's, I've seen it go in very irresponsible directions. Had a friend who believed that it started with, we're all in the simulation, we're all in the matrix, and I just kind of let him believe that, like, okay, yeah, we're all in the simulation together, you know. And then it went from, we're all in the simulation together, to I'm in a simulation and all of you are just reacting around me. And that's when I was like, you need to find a new place to move into. Because that's incredibly scary that you would think that you're the only person in existence and everything anyone does is based off of you. So that's why it's important to understand absolute truth. And absolute truth isn't really constricting either. Like, you still have a lot of freedom and imagination and creativity you can put forth to change your reality. So long as you understand the rules.
When you get that kind of an ego complex, you start wanting to be able to control what the people around you are doing instead of just worrying about controlling yourself. I've definitely gotten to places before where my metaphysics or whatever have started to get skewed through whatever processes of my ego. And I feel lucky, or maybe just glad, that I've had sort of the ability to take a metaphysical dump from now and again, and just decide that I don't know anything and start from square one, which is just that I'm a person and other people are also persons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're experiencing their own thing. But at the same time, the only reason I am experiencing this moment is because you exist, and vice versa. I was going to go somewhere with that, but...
Well, that's why there's an ego and then there's like an observer within us, because you have to have the two services to reflect light between for there to actually be information
and
or experience.
And we perceive time as past, present, future. It's a very linear way of thinking of things. But the theory, if you were like a fourth dimensional being, you'd be a completely different person from moment to moment. So one moment I'm this Brian, and then the next moment an alien would see me as a completely different person just because of the way they perceive time. So it's just saying we're constantly changing, and, you know...
I believe there's a Zen parable, I think it's Zen, that just basically says you can never stand in the same river twice because it's not the same water and it's not the same man.
Hmm. Yeah. It's things that it's very difficult to comprehend.
I've been reading The Power of Now lately, and it's kind of exactly the same thing.
What's that all about?
I think it's Eckhart Tolle. I found a PDF of it because a friend had unstole me. I really needed to read it. And it's pretty much just, I mean, you could call it a self-help book, but it's set up with just questions and answers regarding, like, how do I stay in the present moment and not be in the past or the future? Because the ego that causes suffering through anxiety or through fear or through overly focusing on pain and stuff like that, that's all from living in the past or in the future. If you're in the present moment, then you're just going to respond to what that brings, and that's always going to be balancing in a way, if you're actually paying attention to what's required.
I can kind of see that. I mean, you can definitely be stressed out in the present. you can go through stressful things.
Yeah, but if you are present through the stressful things, they're not really problems, because you always know, like, the next thing that you can do. you're never really stuck unless you're trying to make something happen that's not possible to happen. You know, if you're like realistic about what's going on in the present and you just do the best possible thing, then there's no real problems.
Does that make sense? Yeah, that's it. Now imagine if everything was just in the present. See, that's difficult.
But it's kind of the truth, because the future, whenever it occurs, happens in the now, and the past, when it happened, happened in its now.
Yeah, my friend's his tolerance for LSD went up so high that he was eating entire sheets of acid.
Oh man!
And he ate two sheets in the course of 8 hours, and he wanted to see time as an entity, as a physical entity, and he said that he saw time, or he didn't see time. He got to a point where he could start seeing time, and some sort of god entity said, "Oh, error, like error message. You're not supposed to see this. You can't see this." And then his trip is over, and he blacked out for a few hours. And I just think it's a really funny story. Like, you're so curious to perceive time and space in different ways to help us out as humans, but we can't even live without it. We cannot comprehend things without linear time. It constantly fascinates me and trips me out. If you want to trip Pixel Pusher out, just start talking about time and time paradoxes.
Do you experience a lot of deja vu?
No, I don't think so.
It's hard to know sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think if we're on an infinite ride, then you'll come back around to this particular incarnation in a very similar way again at some point?
If that's the case, maybe it's already happened and is happening. Yeah, see.
I think maybe the reason why your friend couldn't really perceive time in that way and it glitched out, maybe it's because of the idea that time really is the illusion that people that talk about being in the present moment say it is.
Mm. Yeah.
It's basically always a thought construct, because you can only think about the future and think about the past. And whenever you're being present in the present moment, it kind of requires you to be in a no mind, no thought flow state to even do that. You have to stop thinking.
It's funny you bring up the no mind thing. I got a story about an Android Jones workshop I went to one time. I think it was 2013. It was at MAPS, Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies. And Andrew Jones was teaching a workshop there. And he was talking about ketamine. And at the time, I was not into dissociative anesthetics at all. I was actually a little afraid to take them. And he was talking about having a no-mind meditation, and when he was experiencing ketamine, he couldn't feel his arms and his hands, but it was just his pen and his keyboard it was all muscle memory. That's how he was operating the software, and then so it was just his imagination and then the screen. So whatever he imagined just happened, essentially. And I thought that was really romantic. And we took a break, and I started talking to one of the artists there. I'm like, yeah, that no mind meditations, that sounds really cool. I kind of want to try ketamine. And he's like, yeah, I have some ketamine. Would you like some right now? And I had expected him to, give me a bump in the bathroom or something, or hand off whatever. But I sat down, and he just put it right on my laptop, right above the keyboard, right where the fan is. or close to, and I'm like, wow, he just laid out this fat line for me right there. That's really stupid. But thank you. So I did that, and that was the initiation of my exploration with dissociative anesthetics. And I definitely, back to the whole time topic, I eventually started experimenting with NXE heavily, taking NXE like every day while I was working. I was really able to function on it, but when you take NXE enough, you totally see that the time is really just an illusion and a construct, so that we can coordinate as a species. And I remember my friend saying, dude, you have work tomorrow. And I just start laughing at the idea of tomorrow. Like, there's no tomorrow. What are you talking about, dude? There's only right now, and everything just melds together. But, and I totally got what Andrew was talking about. Just like anything you imagine just happens on the screen, because you're just not aware of your hands and you're just so in that present moment.
You're not thinking, you're being.
You're being, yeah, absolutely. And there's a level of thought that goes into it, but it's just immediate acceptance. You know, there's not such an analytical, so much of my art is, and I'm sure every artist, there's so much, okay, who's going to like this? Does it look good? I don't know. And you know, when you're in this no mind meditative state or dissociative state, it's, I like this now, and so it's good. You know, I don't need to worry about what so-and-so is going to think of it. I don't need to worry about how people on Facebook are going to react. So I don't really know how to wrap that up. Don't do drugs, kids. But
well, it really makes me think about
NXT.
I haven't yet explored either of those substances yet. Haven't felt like I should yet, but there's a lot of work I have to do with, the entry-level psychedelics still. What I was going to say, though, is the no mind, that kind of flow state where you are thinking in that you're, like, deciding what you want to do, but you're not caught up in the actual thing about how to do it. I've been thinking lately that creativity is really about making choices more than anything else and not getting in your own way between being able to actually just choose.
I'd say it's more of taking something that already exists and adding onto it and adding things into the world instead of taking things out and trying to discipline.
Sort of like you see something and what you add to it harmonizes with it and creates an entirely new thing, sort of like the way tones can create resonances. And
yeah, it's already there, you know, and some things are discovered, mm-hmm. that no one else has discovered. And there's new ideas and applications, but originality is truly impossible. David Bowie's albums are just an amalgam of all his inspiration, and he made it his own. Andrew Jones, it's very obvious where he takes inspiration from, and he just owns it, and it looks amazing, and it's inspired so many people. Even Salvador Dali, I'm bad at quotes. He said something like, oh, there's nothing original underneath the sun. It's just, we're taking what we're given and we're combining it into a new thing. We're sharing. And every artist that tries to be completely original and unique and is uncollaborative, they never really go anywhere.
Yeah, it's like if we're in infinity, or like when you look at the earth, you can't actually create anything new per se because everything came from the earth. It's like you can't give anything to the earth because where would you put it?
And not even physically, but every action is a reaction. Like right now, though, on some level, I'm being inspired by this. If I was to make an advertisement for Inverse, I would base it off of this experience. I'm looking at your art in the background, and I'm thinking of all the things we're talking about, time and parasites and worms. You know, I'm gonna make something that is based on this conversation. And what we're talking about isn't really anything new either or original, you know, but we're making it our own. This is our experience that we're sharing. And so that's all I'm getting at. It's just, I'm reacting off of you, and I'm reacting off of all the nostalgia and what I know. You can't make something you don't know, right?
I wonder if on some level we're all also conscious in a complete present moment, no time state, and that we basically hang out in this time-based illusion as a form of nostalgia.
Then everything's already happened.
Which would be why you would want to think that there's still shit happening.
If you were just in a present time state, then we would understand that everything has already happened and we can experience it whenever we want.
Maybe in the time state, we can actually expand the range of everything that's ever happened, so that in the no time state, there's more art, more songs, more expression.
Yeah, with a no time state, individuality would greatly deteriorate. So, in that state, it would be easier to. We'd be closer to, I want to experience what it's like to be Chance. I want to experience what it's like to be so-and-so. And now I want to come back to being Brian, or maybe, you know, it would be closer to oneness and being able to experience different levels of consciousness through a vessel. Whereas right now we're very individual.
What's interesting is with the digital expansion that's happening in our culture right now, more and more people are able to sort of pick up tools and express what it is to be themselves, whether it's through, I don't know, some Periscope or something, so they're having a camera follow them around, or through their actual artwork or their music. And maybe at some point we reach like digital telepathy where we can actually really jump into one another's experience.
That's the idea.
That's the singularity.
I mean, that's what I'm really fascinated with, virtual reality, augmented reality.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's scary on some level, because then you can completely assimilate someone to your viewpoints and you can box them in. But at the same time, you can share such amazing things, such amazing perspectives that someone would otherwise never think about. And it can definitely spark a lot of creativity, while at the same time, we could make Kim Kardashian the virtual reality buying shopping game, you know? It's whether for better or for worse, I want to be a part of virtual reality.
Me too, man. I actually want to have a virtual reality studio for this podcast in the future, so that people who are experiencing it, if they don't want to just do audio, they'll be able to do, like, basically sit in video game style in a digital studio where me and the guest. Oh, you've got an Oculus right there. Is that a different thing?
Actually, it's a Japanese company. It's like the first version of the Vive HTC. So, no, wait, it's Korean. I don't know.
Cool. I don't have any VR yet, but
yeah, it's
give it a year. I'm sure it'll become really easy.
Yeah, Tilt Brush is cool. It's Google's little new 360 painting. It's cute. I just wish it had more cross compatibility and more of a practical use.
I definitely want to get into that type of 3D sculpture painting in the future, because I think it will tie into 3D printing, and you'll be able to
start
making some really crazy shit. Literally bringing the digital into the physical world.
Yeah. I recently, my friend and I have real huge interest in 3D software. And so actually I just signed up for a class, or an intensive workshop. So I'm going to be learning ZBrush today, actually.
Damn, cool.
So I'll be essentially what I want to do is it's called kit bashing. It's where you take a bunch of sculptures or .obj, that would be an object file, and you smash them together, and you create a very interesting abstract pattern. And essentially what we're trying to do is print that, and each individual part is assembled on the spot, so we don't need to have humongous trucks taking it. And it's very exciting.
Yeah, man, the future is pretty hard to even imagine at this point. Other than I think might be accessible.
Yeah, it's there's eventually we want to get to augmented reality. And here in the States, it seems like there's a lot of, most of the things are being pushed, most technology is being pushed purely for entertainment. Any industry that gets off the ground, it's always has some sort of entertainment value to it. And that's what we're doing with, and at least in the States, that's what we're doing with virtual reality and augmented reality. Virtual reality is like a simulation. You know what virtual reality is. Augmented reality would be augmenting the physical world. So instead of a sign saying Market and Mission Street, it would say, or it would be a hologram of that. Or you can see a bus schedule that is a projected hologram when you're waiting at the bus stop. Or
I was thinking you could have glasses that could basically replace the words on stuff with your language, so you could travel to other countries more easily.
Yeah. That's another thing. So when people talk, there's a little chat bubble above them if you don't speak that language. A friend I was working with was working on augmented reality. And so your Uber driver, when you're done with your Uber driver, a hologram pops up with the stars and it says, "Rate me." So you can go 5 stars or "You suck," you know, like,
Yeah. 'Cause people aren't prone to do that later on, pulling out their phone and doing it.
Yeah. If they do it at all. Yeah.
If they do it at all.
And so it's just that kind of stuff. That's augmented reality. Or the best one I heard was when you're, since eventually when augmented reality comes out, there won't be people driving cars. All cars will be automated. And you can sit back and you can change you can change the way everything looks around you. So instead of being in a car and there's a bunch of cars around you, you're in space and there's a bunch of spaceships, or you're in the ocean and these are all a bunch of fish instead of cars. So it's literally just changing the appearance of all this stuff.
It'd be cool if you could have a programmed avatar on your device that was speaking to other people's augmented reality devices, so they would see you the way you wanted to digitally represent yourself. It might even help with the whole Big Brother thing going on, where everything is recorded, everything's constantly under surveillance. Because if the corporations that actually create our devices continue to allow us to have encryption, and you had the ability to visually augment yourself in some way, like maybe even a projected hologram, not even one that's coming from like a lens that they've got, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's another idea in the works. I'm not an anime fan, but this is really cool anime called Psycho Pass. I started watching what it's all about is augmented reality. All the police have these holograms over them to make them look all friendly and happy, but they really have guns, and you know, that's the idea. Yeah.
I just read a really cool comic book with a similar idea, where I think it was said somewhere like 2070, and in the near future from now, everybody's personal data from cloud-based storage gets unlocked and unleashed onto the internet, and everybody can see everyone's search history and every file they've got in a cloud. And basically, it's like made the country go crazy in the storyline, and everybody now wears disguises and nobody uses the internet, and the sort of digital revolution got cut short. Anyway, it's about like a bad guy trying to bring the internet back.
Hmm.
It's pretty crazy. It's called The Private Eye. Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool. So that's cool artwork.
It's really good. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think you'd dig it. I think it's like a name your price digitally too.
Oh, nice. In the digital age, you can buy comic books online. And I kind of want to make the slogan for the Pixel Pusher, the brands, to be born too late to explore the earth, born too early to explore space, born just in time to order drugs on the internet. just put that on all my business cards.
That's great.
Pretty much defines my generation.
I don't know, man. I think our generation is more powerful than we realize. The more we mobilize our creative faculties.
I think so too. I think we're not given credit, and when you treat someone like a child, they're gonna act like a child. What I see more of, and maybe I'm just self-absorbed because I live in San Francisco, but there's a lot of really brilliant artists and engineers. So we're all doing things for the entertainment industry, which is cool. But there's no infrastructure case. So we're making this technology or making this art. What does it mean? I see a lot of just, oh, I'm making this art so I can sell it at a festival. I'm making this technology for a video game that I hope to make this much money from. So there's not like a generation, it seems like there's a lot of people don't see a permanence. They're just creating to have fun, I guess.
So you think maybe if people started creating with a little more intention, maybe towards the sustainability of what we're doing, we could probably make huge progress fast.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of statements being made. I see a lot of, I understand that art is made through a certain lens that, you know, there's layers of it, but there's just not a lot of ideas as far as, you know, where we want to go being put out in art and technology. It's just most of it's purely for entertainment and making money.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of art like that myself, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. I think maybe we don't know what we want.
I think maybe though, by at least some of the artists are living from sort of a balanced place between their heart and their mind, where they, even though they're doing it as an occupation to get their livelihood, they're also expressing their true self. And you kind of have to be at a certain level of balance with your health and with your mind to be able to express yourself that clearly. So maybe if enough of us are modeling that type of life, people will start understanding what it takes for themselves to be in balance. And maybe they don't do things like art or entertainment, but they could start actually making moves towards infrastructure. Like I have some friends actually that this summer just got crazy and with a huge garden in the middle of the city. And
in San Francisco?
No, I'm actually in Missouri. I'm pretty far away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you know, those are people around our age, people that have a lot of time on their hands, and they've been expanding their consciousness with substances just the same, or with, you know, their disciplines, like their meditation, their yoga, their Tai Chi, finding balance with themselves. And now they're finding a way to create a beneficial output or beneficial resource in the form of just a badass co-op of gardens in the middle of town.
Yeah. I like seeing that too. I like seeing that when that happens. There's a lot of people here that, on the flip side, like the story goes, oh, I was working at Google and doing all this cool stuff, and then I took acid and went to lightning in a bottle, and now I just want to go to festivals forever, and we're going to make the world's largest finger painting and blow the government's mind, and, you know, like, and, but, again, I, it's cool when you see people trying to build upon their community, and circulate resources in that sense.
I think the festival culture is good for bringing that about. Not every festival, a lot of them are transformational though for the people that attend, and you come back with like such a high that you want to start creating. So
yeah, absolutely.
If we can like make the festival experience, if we can create that in the quote unquote real world more and more, I think we'll be in good shape in the future.
Yeah, and you had something like Lightning in a Bottle, which I had been attending for a long time. It went from those core Burning Man principles of, you know, let's see how far we can push our consciousness. Let's see, you know, how creative we can be, and we, like, there's so much more out there, seen and unseen. And now it's Coachella with yoga, and it's just a party now. I'm wondering where that tipping point was when they're like, we're done with this shit, and maybe it all just was a marketing scheme to get people excited. And I've been going to festivals for a long, long time. I've been going to Renegades for a long time, and I'm so jaded from that whole, just like, okay, what are you trying to sell me?
You bring up a good point. I think though, as conscious and transformational festivals sometimes evolve into more of a party-oriented type of thing, even those can draw people. Those will draw people in that haven't been to festivals before. They might, relative to the experience they have normally, still have like a really expanding consciousness experience, even at the more corporatized money grab of an event. And then from there, maybe their tribe of people that is now into going to festivals starts deciding to do some creative output of their own, and then a new festival gets started that is actually more based on transformation and being in touch with the self. And so like, as the bigger ones kind of go a bad direction, new ones are coming up to replace them. Like the Hunts was really a pretty conscious festival, all said and done, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Small and new.
Yeah, what makes a, I hate to coin the term transformational festival, but what makes a transformational festival transformational is a good philosophy. And there's things like Lightning Bottle and Symbiosis. I'd still say Symbiosis is pretty baller. And Burning Man that had these core principles and philosophies that really got people start thinking and active in the community, and they put those principles into their life. Like I mentioned before, these philosophies and these ideas were being promoted eventually just to make money, to be like, oh yeah, if you come here, you're going to be different. You're going to change. You're going to be transformed. You're going to be more conscious if you come here. Yeah, absolutely. Here's early bird tickets. And then I go to something like Desert Hearts, which my first Desert Hearts was, I was like, this is just going to be another fucking bullshit, like, money-grabbing festival. Totally surprised and so glad I was wrong. That to this day still has such a strong community, and even though like their whole philosophy is very simple, one stage, one vibe, one love, it still gets people active. It's still, I mean, they're just everyone wears these Desert Hearts necklaces, like you've probably seen them around. And I've gotten a gig, like a freelance work, just because he saw my Desert Hearts necklace and was like, oh man, I really want to support you just because you wear that. And it's like, we were kind of all on that same culty vibe of like, yeah, let's contribute to arts and community and Bernie Sanders or whoever we're into at the time, you know? So it's interesting to watch how all these events change and who's changing for purely commodification and who's just doing it because they want it.
I think that can flip-flop back and forth even for one person.
Yeah.
Or for someone throwing an event. I feel like after that little speech, that felt like a really good way to end the episode, man. Your philosophy on Festi Life.
Yeah, don't get me started. thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Yeah, I don't want to take too much more of your time, that's all. But I would love to have you back again anytime you want to just talk about anything.
Sure. Maybe when I'm not so... I literally woke up, got my coffee, and I...
No, dude, this was a great conversation. I regret not getting to talk to you more at the actual fest because we only met for about a minute.
And it's hot as hell.
Yeah. It's a little more relaxing of a method of conversing.
Certainly.
But yeah, this was great. I really appreciate you, brother. I'll make sure and link to your artwork, your website and stuff. If there's anything you in particular want to right now plug for the people listening, something you want people to look at or buy.
Even if you're not into house music, look up Desert Hearts. Summer tour. I think it's called Forever Summer Tour. They're going from California, Colorado, New York City, Canada, probably Mexico. Check out that community. They're really cool. They're really supportive of the arts. Desert Hearts.
I'll link to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Other than that, good people do drugs, bad people take all the credit. All right.
I love your platitudes. All right, man. I'll let you go. Get back to your day. Have fun with that workshop you talked about. That sounds awesome.
Thanks, man.
All right. Much love, brother. Take care. Be all over the now present in Jesus.